chapter today. The book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and the book of creation, and the book of the Creator. Genesis, the sixth chapter. And we're going to look at chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 today. Beautiful passage of scripture that brings hope to our generation and our hour as well, and an awareness of certain things. And we're so blessed that we could open the Word of God. I'm thankful that we do have a Bible. And I may mention to you, Brother Brian Pirtle had a guest that came to church that was a Muslim. They sat back here, and he was amazed. He asked Brother Pirtle, he said, "If that's your holy book, why so many books, your holy books are put on the floor here? Do you know a Muslim will not keep his Bible below his waist, his Quran?" And they believe in the Bible. They don't obey the Bible. And they believe Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, believe it or not. But they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They believe he's a prophet. And the highest shelf in their house will always hold their Quran and their Bible. Their Bible. I said their Bible. And some of you just treat your Bible like it's a book, ma. Amen. You need to love the Word of God. This is something special and holy. Amen. Every now and then you need to get it, hold it close. You need to kiss it. Amen. Had it not been the Word of God, where would we be? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Genesis, the sixth chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The scripture said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Verse 8, "But Noah found grace," where? "In the eyes of the Lord." Amen. Are you thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of our great Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Put your Bibles down now. Amen. And I want you to lift your hands to God today. And I want you to thank the Lord for his mercy and his grace. Thank you, Jesus. God, for your amazing, amazing, amazing grace and mercy, Lord. I thank you for the gift of life, the gift of opportunity, Lord, to worship you, to love you, to praise your beautiful name. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your great, great gift of life. We thank you, Jesus, today. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I wish I could share my taste with you today, but I can't. Have you ever eaten something good? I mean, me and Brother Craig yesterday had something that was good. I mean, we had a big old hamburger together, and it was so good. It was good. Something I hadn't had in 3 years at that particular place. Good. I could tell you how great it was to me. But until you get a taste of it, for you, you'll never know. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Nobody could do your tasting for you. You got to get it for yourself. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Now, the scripture says that God saw that humanity was out of control. Man, everything he made now was out of place. The depravity of man was great. Here it was where people thought evil. They imagined evil. Evil, evil from morning to night continually, the scripture says, was on their mind. And the Bible says God was sorry that he made the human race. It broke God's heart. And God said this, "I'm going to rid my ruined creation. I'm going to make a clean sweep of people, animals, creatures, birds, the whole works. I'm sorry that I made them." This shows very strongly just how holy God is and how he hates sin. It displeases God. And he is pressed by the sins of creatures, Amos said in 2:13. He's wearied, Isaiah said in 43:24, of sin. He's broken in Ezekiel 6:9. And he's grieved, Psalm 95 says in verse 10, of sin. God hates sin. If God hates sin, we must hate sin. If it grieves God, sin ought to grieve you. Think with me today. And I want you to think about it. We must consider how God feels about things. You know what? As a pastor, you hurt a lot of feelings. When you start preaching against sin, you start stepping on toes and start twisting noses, somebody said. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God was here today, God wouldn't step on a toe. Amen. God would either say, depart from me. God hates sin. God is here today. And sin still discusses God. Amen. And we got to consider how God feels about things. Not your petty feelings and pleasures. And many people wear their feelings on their shoulders. But today, I have a mandate from the Almighty God to preach against sin. Yeah, Noah preached against it. God has commissioned me to preach it. And to tell you that sin is what God hates. It was so bad that God repented that he made man. I want to tell you, if sin caused God to repent, sin should cause you to repent. Have you ever thought that way? God resolved to destroy man, literally to clean, just sweep it all away. Creatures, mankind, all because of sin. Sin destroyed all the beauty that God's seen at creation. And sin will take away the beauty that you may think, oh, that's so beautiful. I want to tell you, the beauty of sin is twisted, and it is a false beauty that Satan paints. Amen. Isn't he still a liar? Amen. That old dog is still a liar, isn't he? Amen. Don't you hate the beauty that sin begins to paint? Because you know the rest of the story. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. But I'm thankful that my God is still a God that has a gift of life. Amen. Hallelujah. The scripture says here that it's obvious as God was ready to destroy mankind. We found here that Noah was distinguished from the rest of the world. There was a peculiar mark. Something got a hold of God to honor Noah, to give him an opportunity. When God was displeased with the rest of the world, he favored Noah. The scripture we read a while ago says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This vindicates God's justice. Think with me just a moment. In his displeasure against the world, it shows that he strictly examined the character of every person that was living in that time before he pronounced it universally corrupt. And for the sake of one good man, God gave him a way of escape, to escape the sinful destruction. It was obvious that Noah did not find favor in the eyes of men. In fact, he condemned his world, the Bible says. The same with us today. We must seek to please God. We're not here to please our world. In fact, you can't. But we're here to condemn our world. Somebody say amen. Notice Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. You had to be seeking the face of God to get a hold of his eyes. Many are grace seekers, but they're not face seekers. They want the benevolence of God, but they don't want God. They want the cleaning power of God, the blessings of God, but they don't want God in their picture. Friend, I don't want God's detergent. I just don't want God's blood, but I want God to dwell in my life. Praise God. In other words, friend, you can speak in tongues till your tongue falls out. If you don't let God live in your life, what good is your tongues, the Bible says. They want the benevolence. Notice in Hebrews 11, verse 7, the scripture says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah made a move, all because of God's warning and God's goodness. God was ready to destroy, but somebody moved with fear. And that fear described in this passage of scripture is not a terror, but a profound reverence for the authority of God and the holiness of God. This verse ties the fear of God directly to faith, showing a healthy respect to the Almighty God, how it motivates us to live in a way that says, I'm going to prepare myself for his plans. Noah's plans was not important, but the plan of God was so important to Noah that he moved on the plan that God had given him. Amen, friend. If you don't move on God's plan, you're going to stay on your plan and die in it. Have you ever been at the mercy of somebody? Think with me. Have you ever been at the mercy of someone? Your life is basically in their hands when you're at the mercy of somebody. At the mercy of somebody, your future, your existence, your continuance, everything is there in their hands. It means to be in a position where your well-being, your outcome, your situation depends entirely on the decisions, the actions, and the goodwill of another person. It implies also vulnerability and a lack of control over the situation. Man, I love the way God takes care of things, don't you? Have you ever been at the mercy of somebody's hands? Have you ever been on a deathbed? Have your life has ever been at a crossroads where it was either do or die? Have you ever had a vehicle pull out in front of you and the only thing you could say was Jesus? And your moment of vulnerability, amen, you was at the hands of the mercy of God, the goodness of God's decision. Have you ever been broke? Broke. Didn't have anything to help you out. Amen. Have you ever been wiped out by a storm? Anybody's ever been in a storm where it hit your house and knocked everything out? Anybody's ever lost everything you got before? We have one. You're at the vulnerability of somebody else's hands, somebody else's mercy. Job was at that place. But I'm thankful that God held the reins, didn't he? His friends came and said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? You don't have anything to live for. Job said, the Lord giveth. The Lord, what? But Job said, blessed be the Lord, which you're at the hands of mercy. Amen. You're at the hands of the mercy of somebody else. I'm telling you, they had the decision. You're vulnerable. It's going to take their decision. And I want you to think about it. This week, Brother Jerry Craig will witness this. Well, just a couple weeks ago, my gold Dodge truck transmission went out. And, man, transmission's $5,000. I mean, then somebody blessed me with another four-wheel drive truck. And I took it this week. And I want to tell you, I went all the way through Dallas, Texas, traffic, all that. And I get to where our place is that we hunt at every year. And right before I pulled in our deer camp. And would you know, the transmission, all of a sudden, this truck wouldn't even move. After just coming with a golf cart on my trailer and everything in it, my wife and my son and I going through all that five-hour drive. When I pull up, all of a sudden, transmission goes out on it. Two transmissions within a month. And I am there stranded. And thank God for people. Brother Craig was there. Brother Clark was there. Brother Roach and them lives down the road. I had people, but I was at the mercy and the decision of other people. To get home, we had to get a car hauler. At the mercy of a friend, had a car hauler. At the mercy of my son-in-law, he had to drive all the way there. And he came, and we rode back with him. Brother Craig pulled my truck home. And late last night, we finally got home. All at the mercy of somebody else. We were there at the mercy. If we went to town, it was because we piled in the vehicle somebody else's. Think with me. You think, man, that's a bad deal. I'm going to tell you what a worse deal is. Amen. When you're in a place and you have nothing else and you don't even let God have his way in your life, you're in a sick condition when somebody will not let God be God in your life. Noah was at that place where it was either comply or be doomed. God had a salvation plan for Noah. He had to obey it. He had to comply to it. He had to put something to action. And literally, so do we. If we don't obey God, amen, we're in a fix. We're in a bind. Noah's not popular or accepted by his peers. He didn't have mankind to bail him out. But he had a mandate from God. If you build this ark, you and your household is going to be saved. God had a plan and a promise for Noah, but Noah had to obey it. Think with me. God has a plan too. But you got to obey his plan in order to be saved. The Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. You see, nobody else could save you. Nobody else could get you in the ark but yourself. And today I'm going to preach to you from this little title today, At the Mercy of a Promise-Keeping God. I'm glad that God keeps his promise. Noah's at the mercy of a promise. God was ready to destroy it, but he said, Noah, you've looked to me, and I see something in your life. And I'm going to give you a plan, Noah. You've got to build an ark. And God began to give him the specifics to the plan. Every little detail, every little measurement, the type of wood, how to build the ark. And it was to do it or die. Do or die. It's either obey or be destroyed. I want you to think with me. Amen. It's still the same today. Either we obey the word of God and comply to it, or we're going to be lost. Amen. I got to have God's word. And when you have God's word and you apply it, amen, I'm glad I have a God who keeps his promise. Are you thankful that God is still a promise keeper? Amen. God is still the one that holds to his word. Amen. So we're at the hand of a merciful God today. At the mercies of God, God has a decision to squash us out. And let me tell you, when God squashes somebody out, it's not over. There's eternity forever and ever to pay for that wrong decision that you made. But I'm so thankful that the wages of sin is that penalty. But God has a gift called eternal life. Are you thankful for that? Now, all because Noah complied and he built an ark, there came a day and an hour. As a result of Noah's compliancy, his obedience to God. Genesis 7 verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. If you don't live righteous before God in this generation, you'll never hear God say come. I want you to notice that God said, come, come on in to this ark. Come into this ark. Come into. I want to say today God's message is still come. Let he that is weary come unto me. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you thankful for the invitation? But you better be in the plan of God. You better be seeking his face, not just his grace. You got to be seeking his will, his purpose and his plan. You better be constructing and building on your faith by praying of the Holy Ghost. And you better be in the plan of God. You want the hand of God? You better be in the plan of God. Coming to church don't make you, let me knock this old theory out, okay? Coming to church don't mean that you're in church. I had some guy tell me that one of his relatives was in church. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, they went to church last Sunday. That don't mean they're in church. Either you in the plan of God or you're not in the plan of God. Either you're in the ark of God or else you're not. Either you're compliant to the things of God or else you're an outsider to the plan of God. Can't be half in and half out. You got to be totally in this, folks. Jesus gave his all and he's looking for you to give your all. So he told Noah, come into the ark. Amen. I love the way God does it. And then the Lord shuts them in. We'll read Genesis 7:16 again. If you could put it up there, Genesis 7:16. I want you to read it with me. And they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And the Lord, what? Shut him in. There's some people afraid of being shut in with God. Friend, the best place you ever be, will find yourself is when you get shut in with God. I want to be shut in this thing. I want God to shut me in his promise. How about you? Amen. I want the power of God. I want to be in his presence. There used to be a song when I was a kid was, shut in with God in the secret place. There in the spirit, beholding his face, finding new power. I can't even remember the rest of the words, but shut in with God. To run in this race, I long to be shut in with God. But you'll never be there till you learn to obey the commandment of God that we just read. Why is it hard for humanity to obey God? Why is it such a deal? This verse is a poignant reminder, number one, of God's power to save and his ultimate authority in matters of judgment. It shows that when God shut the door, it represented and symbolized judgment and mercy. The door made a boundary between those on the inside and those on the outside who face judgment for their unrepentance. Because Noah preached repentance. And today, if we don't have repentance in our life, what good is it? Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. And they were at the mercy of a promise-keeping God. Just like God promises to save, he's promised that he's going to judge this world. He's promised he's going to destroy this world. The same God of then is the same God today. I'm going to say above all else, you got to get inside God's plan. You got to get in God's ark. And God promised judgment to those who will not comply and to those that will not repent. In fact, Ephesians made it simple. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Sealed. When God shut the door, he sealed them inside of the ark. I want to say this day, amen, all because somebody obeyed the commandment of God's plan. God sealed them in. I want God to seal me in his plan. How about you? Amen. God's plan of salvation still includes obeying his commandments. It still includes the necessity of repentance. You got to repent of your sin. There's no way to bypass repentance. Repentance is more than just saying, God, I'm sorry. But God, I need you in my life. We need to be one that seeks the face of God, not just the grace of God. Hear me? The salvation plan, just like in Noah's hour, he commanded repentance, a turn from their sin, a surrender from their life. Hear me? Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is not an option. The next thing we see here, there was a lot of water, wasn't it? Water was something that destroyed many. But the scripture says in the New Testament, 8 souls were saved by what? Water. Baptism in Jesus' name still saves you. You got to have water in your life to be saved. You got to have a water baptism in your life. That's what the word says. Friend, don't take my word. Amen. My word will fail you, but God's word, he's always stood by his word. You got to have water. And I'll tell you what would destroy people on the outside was water. But those on the inside were saved by water, because they were sealed on the inside. And you got to be sealed and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost on the inside of your life. And a Holy Ghost is not just an experience. It's just not you just coming here and jabbing in another tongue. That's a wonderful experience, isn't it? And I don't want to ever take lightly when God begins to take over and you start speaking in tongues. But I want to tell you, just because you speak in tongues, amen, you need to realize you need to let God in your life to live in. You need to be shut in his plan. Amen. Compliant to him. Amen. You are at the mercy of a God, amen, who is a promise keeper. Amen. This world will be destroyed. This world is sinful. And the scripture says this, as it was in the days of Noah, Matthew 24. So also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we're at that place. The Bible says, in that day of the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not that the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I want you to notice the setting of that Matthew 24 scripture. Something happened so immediately. They didn't think it was going to happen like that. But it happened suddenly. Jesus compares the days leading up to his return with that period of the flood. And just as people in Noah's day were living their life as usual, just as people in Noah's days were living it up and thinking, ha, eat, drink, oh, let's just live it up, without any sense of impending judgment. They were caught unaware. And friend, Jesus said in that last day, it's going to be the same way, where people are so caught up in their life that they're not aware of the things of God. Amen. You know what the whole deal is? The focus here is not upon the activities, eating and drinking and marrying, but the focus is on the complacency. Think with me. And the disregard for the spiritual matters of the Word of God. They were disregarding the things of God, doing their thing, but God wasn't in their thing. And if God is not in your thing, friend, hear me, you're going to be left behind. But being left behind is not the bad thing. It's being separated for eternity without God. Just as Noah's obedience and preparation saved he and his family, so also must we live in readiness, aligning our lives with God's will. Hear me today, friend. You got to be ready. Look somebody across the building and tell them, you got to be ready. Point your finger. Amen. You've got to be ready. Help me preach it this morning. Look at somebody else and point at them and say, you better be ready. Amen. We can't play. We can't be complacent with this. Amen. You've got to be ready. Point your finger at somebody else and tell them, you better be ready. Amen. You've got to be ready to meet God. Amen. Your house has to be ready. Your life has to be ready. Amen. We can't play around with the things of God. We've got to be ready. This passage serves both as a warning to the unprepared and an encouragement to the prepared to remain vigilant and ready for the glorious return of the Almighty God. A sudden judgment and a sudden salvation is promised. Just like the days of Noah, they were doing their thing, but God wasn't in their midst. And in this hour, it's the same way. Everybody's doing their thing and they protect themselves from that thing. Don't you dare tell me I have to repent. How dare you tell me that homosexuality is wrong? How dare you tell me that adultery is wrong? How dare you tell me pastor fornication is wrong? How dare you tell me rebellion is wrong? How dare you tell me that paying tithes will get me to hell? Not paying tithes will get me to hell. Oh, but we changed that real quick. How dare you tell me that profanity, just slipping up, is going to get... I'm going to tell you. If I don't tell you, amen, I better go get me a job selling cars. Because God has called me to do a job in this hour, just like Noah, to preach righteousness and to prepare an ark for the saving of homes. Amen. Hey, friend, when I said yes to God, I meant yes to God. And God wants me to preach it today and tell you, you got to get your house in order. Is your house ready? I'm not talking about the place where you go down and lay your head and sleep and eat at your table. I'm talking about your life. How many of you above 70 years old raise your hand? Says Christy, you're not that age yet. If you're above 70 years old, you've been blessed. You don't borrow time. How many of you are below 70? We could laugh and say, oh, they don't borrow time. So are you. Every day is an opportunity. Life is as a vapor that appeareth just for a little time and what? Vanisheth away. I want to tell you, quit playing and stealing from God. You're stealing from God when your life should be His. When you've been the queen or the king of your own life, you greedy gut, you're stealing from God Almighty, thinking you're in control. When your life belongs to Him, the purpose for humanity was to honor the God of heaven that created you. But oh, sin will come in and sin will blind your heart, blind your mind, and tell you, ah, you've got plenty of time. Live it up. But they were unaware, unaware to the day that Noah entered to the ark. Too late is going to be too late. And I still see that little picture. It was in a little Bible storybook somewhere. Of people on the outside of the ark. And they were clawing at that door. And one of the pictures that I steal that got a hold of me as a young boy, that's still in my brain today, was of a mother holding her baby up above her head. And the rain was right here. Amen. Just a little, not even a half inch more, mama would have drowned and her arms would have got limp and the baby drowned. You know that happened? Mamas and daddies and babies, grandmas. Oh, that's not fair. Oh, it is. God's a just God. And God's telling every man everywhere to repent of their sin. Oh, how can a God like that... Amen. I want to tell you, God's not going to send you to hell. You'll send yourself to hell. And you thinking, we think about sinners on the outside of the church. And I'm going to repeat what I said the other day. Even the bad thing is, it's going to be bad on the sinners on the outside of the church. But the ones that hold the truth in unrighteousness, I believe hell's going to have a hotter, more worse place than ever for those that know the truth and don't live the truth. It's disgusting to God for you to possess the knowledge of His great truth and for you not to live it. For you to get all tangled up in your life. Amen. You need to set your house in order. You need to get your life in order. You're at the hand of a merciful God. You're at the mercy of a great God who is a promise keeper. Just like He promised life everlasting, He's promised eternal doom. And believe me, God's going to keep His word. You're going to have to stand before God. And on this day, you know you can't lie to God. God knows everything. You can lie to me, you can lie to your neighbor, and you can lie to your family. But you ain't going to lie to God. You're going to have to give an account of your soul. And you know what? There's somebody else that's going to have to give an account. And it's the one that's preaching. And on that day, I can't say, oh, but hold it. That was just so-and-so. She had a lot of problems in her house. She had problems. You know, she was, ever since she was a kid, she had all kind of things brew in her life. And God, you know, the Lord said, give an account. And I will have to make the statement. They were always upset at you, God, at your church, at your people, at your pastor. They never complied. They always were rebellious. God's going to say, give me an account. Well, they're always unfaithful. I never seen them pray before service. Never seen them really conduct a life that was holy, separate. They always were fudging the lines. As a pastor, Lord, you told me to draw the line here. And they looked at it and they said, oh, that's just Pastor Crosswhite. You know, as a man of God, God mandates that I make a line and draw a line. And this line's not a line in the sand. Amen. This ought to be an eternal line that you say, hey, Pastor, I got to be saved. Build a fence in my life. Tell me, help me, get a hold of me, be my shepherd. Anybody could be your preacher. I want to be your shepherd to lead your soul. I got to give an account of you. So I got to preach the word. I got to be diligent to give you the truth. Not to tickle your ears. Not to worry about your feelings, honey child. But I better worry about your soul. It needs Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, the Bible says rejoice that not that your name's written on a billboard. Amen. I'm paraphrasing. But oh, you didn't rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Above all else, I've got to be saved. I'm in the hands of somebody with mercy. Hallelujah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. To find grace. To find grace, you got to seek His face. You got to be one that seeks after God. Feels after God. The book of access. And find Him. Though He be not very far from every one of us. To know the grace of God. To know the eyes of God. You got to be one that is serious about Him and fear Him. Noah moved with fear. It's not your will, but His will that needs to be done. Do you fear God? Where is your fear of God? Today you can't find fear of God in some places. Even in churches today, where's the fear of God gone? Where's the respect to the Almighty God? Where people don't respect the house of God, much less the people of God, much less God. Somebody say amen. Treating the house of God like a social club. This is not a social club. This is not the country club. This is not the Masonic lodge. Amen. This is the house of redemption where we've been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a house of mercy, a house where grace happened in our life. Therefore, it ought to be the house of praise, the house of love, the house of honor to the King of Kings. This is God's assembly where we come and worship Him in spirit and in truth, and your body is His. Treat your body like it's yours, my. Hear me, I'm preaching to you today that your house better be in order. My God, you can't have one foot in the ark and one foot outside. You can't be like Lot's wife. Even though she got outside the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know where it started at in her mind, in her heart. She just had to look back. She just had to test God. Surely, God, I'm already out of the city. It ain't going to hurt for me to look back. I don't know what got in that woman's mind and heart. I'll tell you what it was. She still had Sodom and Gomorrah in her heart. Why look back? And I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, why look back to your old past life if God pulled you out of the pig pen? Why go back to that old sinful life? You need to hate sin like God hates sin. God repented because of sin that polluted His creation. And sin ought to cause you to repent and be ashamed of it. But you despise it. Hear me today. The Holy Ghost is trying to get a hold of somebody's mind and heart and soul. Amen. We can't afford to play. We can't afford to just go on and like Noah's generation, Lot's generation. And your generation. And we got a president now. It's exciting. Somebody to stand for somewhat decency. Thank God for it. But I'm going to tell you, just because we got a president, the issue's not resolved. Chronicles 7:14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It still says, if my people which are called by my name will seek my face. God's looking for people to seek Him, turn from their wicked way to repent of their sin. Amen. Oh God, we need you in this hour. Our world needs you. Amen. Hear me, saint of God. Amen. You can settle back and say, whoa, we got it made now. Oh yeah, President Trump's going to solve every issue. Not if our nation don't get on their face. Not if the church don't seek the face of God. We're going to be in the same old boat we always been in. And it's sinking. It's a Titanic. It's going down. But the church is going up. Get in the ark. Get your house in order. Oh, would you lift your hands to God right now? You ought to thank Him today for His mercy and for His promises. Which side of the promise are you going to be on, the merciful side or the judgment side? Come on, you ought to lift up your hands and say, God, help me. Help it to be matter to me. Help me, God, that your will matters, your promise matters to me. Help me that my soul would be saved. Come on, talk to God. Somebody needs to do business with God today. Hallelujah, yes. Hallelujah. Get your house in order. Hallelujah. 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 That old Cajun preacher, when I was a kid, he said, if it looks like sin, you don't need it. If it feels like sin, you definitely don't need it. If it acts like sin, you definitely don't need it. Looks like a duck. Walks like a duck. Quacks like a duck. It's probably a duck. Looks like sin. Sounds like sin. It's probably going to be sin. That's the reason why we need to separate ourselves. Get inside the ark. Hallelujah. God's supposed to shut the door. It's supposed to be over. Hear me. Amen. But I'm thankful that I have a God. I'm at the mercies of God anyway. At the mercies of the Almighty God. Yesterday, amen, Brother Craig's pulling that Dodge truck on back of a trailer. And he goes around to pass a vehicle. and we watched two cars coming face to face with him. I watched that, Brother Craig. There was a pastor praying for you yesterday because you and Sister Rhonda and Grayson was in there. And I saw, I had a son-in-law was praying. I almost prayed through behind the steering wheel praying for you. But he got over just in time. Just in time. How many has ever had that just in time moment where God stepped through just in time? Amen. I'm going to see a hand. Anybody else? You've had just-in-time moments. If you've had a just-in-time moment. Amen. What about right now? Amen. That you could run to God. You got more than just-in-time. Amen. You got an open door right now. That door's not going to... When I don't believe that God went to that door and he gently shut it. In my mind's eye, Brother Riley, when God shut the door, God's hand went boom. It was suddenly. And when God comes, it's not going to be something. It's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen. The judgment of God, it will come. Everything's going to happen quickly. Amen. Would you bow your heads in this place right now? I feel the urgency of the Almighty God drawing. You know what the Lord told Noah? While the door was open, he said, come. Come on, come on in. Bring your family, come in. Somebody today, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you to get in. Come on, come in. The invitation is come. The pull of God is come. If you're not ready to meet God, the word is to come. Amen. Leave everything else behind. Leave your world. Leave your lifestyle. Leave it and come into the ark. Amen. Leave it and come meet God today inside. Leave your excuses. Leave all your ambitions, your bucket list too behind. Come into the place of God. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to pray with me this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your voice, brother, sister. Amen. Let's pray. Come on. You're in the house of a merciful God today. We're at the mercy of a promise-keeping God today. Amen. You're at the mercy and the decision of somebody else. But he's given you one opportunity to make a choice. Joshua 24, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to slip out of that chair right now. Whatever age you are, amen, you need to come and lay before God today everything. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to come to this front today and talk to the Almighty God. I'm done. Amen. I'm done. I preached to you. I poured it out. What God has spoke to me all week long to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody needs to come. You need to come and lay down that. Amen. You need to lay down your life. Those things that you've been disobedient in. If you've been disobedient to the compliance of the things of God and have not complied, amen, you need to lay it down today. Every sin, everything that looks like sin, every near sin, amen, whatever it may be, you need to lay it down and say, God, here am I. Amen, if there's something you need to get right with God, you need to do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is saying, come. Hallelujah, don't write yourself off and think, oh, well, I got plenty of time tomorrow. Come and seek God's face. And find grace in the eyes of the Lord God.
For above all.
Hallelujah.
Else,
what about you, ma'am? What about you?
I must.
What about your life?
Saved.
Come on, I preach to you. I've got to give an account of this message. But now it's your turn. I delivered it. I've delivered that. I've obeyed the Holy Ghost today. Now it's your time to obey the Holy Ghost. I did my job as a pastor. I warned you. Now it's your job to lay all that down and enter through that door called the Ark of God's plan. Hallelujah. For above all else, I've got to be saved.
I must be saved.
touch. God, I've got to be saved.
I must be saved.
Come on, it matters. It matters. Come on, it matters. It matters. In the ark or outside the ark.
For whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity.
Come on, pray with us today. Come on, lift your voice and talk to Jesus this morning. Come on. Every day is an opportunity. If your heart's not moved, ask God to move you. God, if there's something in me that is blocking you, move it from me, Jesus.
I must be saved. For whatever you have to
whatever
do
God, whatever God to you have me, to do, don't let me be
don't
lost.
Let me be lost for eternity.
For above all else. Come on, have you really complied to the Lord? Or is there something lacking in your life? Have you truly repented? Have you been baptized in the water in Jesus' name? Have you let the King move in, live? Are you still fiddling with the world? Come on, get in the ark.
Above all else, Lord, I must be saved. For whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else.
Come on, we got a promise keeping God today. Such a promise keeper. Hallelujah. One that keeps his word. One that keeps his word. Come on, he keeps his word.
I must be saved.
He forgives. He washes. He cleanses. He seals.
For whatever
he separates.
You have to
he gives new beginnings.
To me. Don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. For whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. There will come a day, I know without a doubt, around the throne the saints will bow.
Ask the Lord to break every yoke, every hold,
and lay down every crown. How glorious that moment to see Him face to face, to hear Him say, well done, my child, you've finished your race. But for now the sun's still rising, there's work to still be done. While we're waiting on the promise of what is yet to come, finish well. Every day that we are given, finish well. For the glory of His name, finish strong. Until the Savior finally calls us home, giving everything we have, finish well, finish well. Every day that we are given, finish well. For the glory of His name,
would you lift your hands to Jesus this morning? I want you to thank the Lord for Calvary, what He's done for you. Promise keeper. God that keeps His promise with the hands and the mercy of a God who will keep His word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for mercy today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for me, Lord. Thank you for the promise, the covenant of eternal life, Jesus. In your name, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. Above all else, I must be saved. Amen. I don't want to play this game. Amen. I want to be right in the race to the end. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Lord good to us. Amen. I've given you my heart today, church. I do want to see you saved. I do want you to make it. Amen. God's not willing that any should perish. Any should perish. But all come to repentance. And my heartbeat is to lead you to heaven. To help you. To encourage you. To encourage you to hate sin more than ever. And to love God with all your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you pray right now with me? I want you to pray for our Sunday school classes, our children. I know they've already had him class, but I want you to pray for them today, their souls. Lord, in your name, our children are back there. God, our young people, our babies, God, I pray for them today. God, our teachers, that you would be with them today. Help us, God, to be more for you. Seal us with your spirit. Seal us with your promise. Seal us, God, with the things of righteousness, with the fear of you, God. We pray for that, Lord. Awaken our hearts. Awaken our consciousness and awaken our convictions, Jesus. We thank you for these things, and you matter to us most of all. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you today. See you tonight. Don't